Start the recording. We have been going through a series on lights of the world. Lights of the world. See, I wasn't even going for the song. That's so awesome. That's so great. Today we're talking about being committed. Now listen, me and my wife, we had this timeshare that someone gave us, and we went up towards Big Bear last year. And they make you sit through one. I mean, they don't make you, but if you want like a free timeshare when you go to a timeshare, they make you sit through that like 4-hour thing. Well, this one worked. We actually got the timeshare, but we didn't realize that during the fast, the timeshare was going to run out because we just hadn't used it for a year. And so we ended up. I said, Jesus, we got to use it. We got to use it now. We're fasting. Who wants to go on vacation when you fast? Not fun, you know. And she said, well, we can just go up there. And so I said, well, she says, well, we got to use it this month, and there's only a few places we can go. I said, okay, pick something far away where I don't want to see anything so I can just do what we need to do. And so she picked something. We went to Clear Lake. And Clear Lake's way up above Sacramento. I was kind of hoping for something where I didn't have to drive 9 hours, but there you go. And so we went up to Clear Lake, and there really wasn't much to do there. That was true. I mean, you know, it is winter. You're not going to go swimming in the lake. But we had a window overlooking the lake, and it was beautiful, and it was quiet. It was raining all the time, so I wasn't too tempted to go anywhere. So I sat there, and I read a book of the Bible every day when I'm fasting. So, you know, I'm now up to Ruth today. I don't read all the small books. I start from the beginning and read through the Bible. And so so it was the Pentateuch that I was going through when I was up there. You know, it was Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and, you know, Joshua and Judges and now Ruth today. And so so I had a lot. And it takes me, like, Genesis is like the fourth largest book in the Bible. It takes a while to read. And I don't, like, read, like, you know, I don't remember if you guys know Evelyn speed reading. I don't know if that's. If that goes way back in the memory somewhere, but I got no speed read because, like, I try to speed read and I'm like, well, what do they mean by that? And then it's like into all my other resources and I start looking into things, and then it takes me all day to read a book, and so I didn't have a lot of time to go play around, but Jeannie would take off because she's not fasting the same fast that I'm fasting. And so she took off, and she'd go shopping or whatever, and it was really nice, but we are who we are, and me and Jeannie are just who we are, and so wherever we go, we're those people, right? And so if you're committed to being a light, you're going to have an opportunity to shine your light. You just are going to have a chance to share your faith with people. I'm not trying to brag about us, but we are examples, and so. In all our brokenness and all our imperfections, we just talk about Jesus all the time. And, you know, and you touch people's lives that way. And some of them think you're nuts. I mean, the Bible does say we are the foolish things of the world, and I prove it continuously. So, you know, we go around and we find out that people get, you rub on people, you know? You rub on them. Because when you're like this fire here, and I'm not sure if the keys are falling into the fire. It looks like they're falling out of the fire, but I'm going to go with that, okay? I'm going to go with that. But things just come out of you. Things just come out of you. And you're just having such a great time living life. You're not even trying to, like be some witness, you know? You're just living life, and you're saying God bless you, and you're saying, you know, you're saying Merry Christmas, and you're saying whatever, blessed New Year, you know? There's words that just set things off, and they're... And the people get to ask you, well, are you a Christian? You know? And then all of a sudden they start confiding in you about their life and about things that are happening. And you just get this opportunity to be a light in this world. And, you know, I want to be a light. I don't want to hide myself. You know what I'm saying? I want to be a light. I want to help people. Someone mentioned that perhaps, they said to Jeannie, perhaps I was getting a little burned out. I'm not burned out. I love pastoring. It's the greatest job in the universe because you get to help people. I did the business world thing. I made lots of money before. I love pastoring. And I'm not a pastor when I'm here on Sunday. I'm a pastor on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm a pastor every day of the week. And everywhere I go, I'm a pastor. And even if people catch me in things that, well, aren't too flattering, I'm still a pastor. You know what I'm saying? And even if there's a moment of slippage, I'm still a pastor. Whatever that could be. Use your imagination. Let it go. Let it go. I'm not here pretending I'm perfect, but what I am is I'm transparent. And I want to be transparent. The reason you want to be transparent is because as soon as you stop becoming religious, you stop the light from shining. Do you understand that? Once you become a religious person, you're no longer you're shining a false light. See, because you're not transparent anymore. You're trying to put off this image that you're better than you really are. You're trying to act. I want the congregation to see me only when I'm holy. Man, stick with me for a day. Stick with me for a day. You'll be like, God uses that? Oh, yeah, he does. And he'll use you too. And that's why I'm here to say. I got some great stories. Gene's going to share some stories. We got great stories today. This is going to be a fun service. But I'm going to tell you something that's extremely embarrassing. So here you go. I'm about 16 years old, and I'm driving my dad's Delta 88. Does anyone know what a Delta 88 is? Thing is a monster. It's a tank. It's huge. I'm driving it up in Sunland, and right where Mount Gleason is, I want to make a left. And you used to be able to make a left there, and it was early in the morning. The sun was in my face, and there was dust on the window, and I couldn't see, and I was a horrible driver. Not much better now, but I was really horrible then. And I sat there, and I'm like, well, I can't hear a car coming. And so, and that happened just like that. That was exactly what happened. And my front end went, my hood went up into my window. It was just, you couldn't get bear time. See, you can't make this stuff up. I got some stories that make the hair crawl on your head of just how God moves in situations. But the guy, but it crunches up my car. And my fault, I may have left in front of him. And he gets out of the car. He comes up to me and he says, what the blah, 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 blah. Were you? And he's just angry. He's walking up like he's just going to punch me. He has every right to. I absolutely was at fault. 100% my fault. And I said, and I couldn't think of what to say. And I'd just become a Christian. And someone told me, you're all ministers. So I said, I'm a minister of the Lord. And he, I kid you not. He stopped. He goes, oh. I'm like, I like this. This is good. This is good. Just save me from getting a bloody nose. This is a good thing. And he was really nice. And he was apologetic. And he traded information. And I didn't die. And it was very good. But here's what I want you to get. While I said it kind of sheepishly at the moment, I knew that it was a truth. That I was called to be a minister of God. And you're called as ministers. Matter of fact, the fivefold is here to equip the ministers to do the ministry. That's what we're here for. That's what Ephesians says. And so I want today to encourage you to be lights. I want you to commit yourselves, be committed to being a light in the world. You don't have to be perfect. I'm a good example that God uses imperfect people, okay? He uses people, everyday people, just like you. You don't have to have every scripture memorized. You may never have read the Bible through one time in your whole entire life. God will still use you. You may have read the Bible one time. God can use you. God will use you where you're at because the world is so messed up, he'll use anybody who's willing to be committed to him. Amen? So what we're going to talk about a little bit today, and I'm going to share a little bit with Jeannie because Jeannie's got a story too. We're just going to share what this vacation was. We didn't go up on this vacation thinking we need to have some stories to come back. We don't think like that, right? I'm going on this vacation because I don't want to deal with nothing. I want to go up and read my Bible and be left alone. And when I'm not doing my Bible, we had this giant 1,000-piece puzzle thing with a golden retriever puppy face in it, and we were doing the puzzle together. So that's the exciting life of your pastors. Okay, so we go all the way up, 9 hours of driving, so we can do a puzzle. I said, Jeannie, you know, we could do this at home. Oh, then you get their puzzle, and what are these people? They're like evil. They lose pieces of the puzzle. And you're sitting there for hours looking for, this is what, like a 2,000-piece puzzle? It was like 2,000 pieces. And they're missing pieces. And one of the pieces was on the border. Oh, that is so bad. There's a special place in heaven for these folks. I do tell you the truth, though. I really kind of got into it. And, you know, sometimes I was up till like 2:30 in the morning doing this puzzle, and I didn't even realize the time had gotten that late. And I know the thing's coming out. It's all right. We're portable ministry. We're a portable ministry. It's like that. It's like that. All right, honey. It's okay. I'm not going to compliment. If I do fall down and the stick goes up my woohoo, then you'll know. You'll know. All right. So, I want to know how to be committed to being a light in the world. You know what? I say inappropriate things. It happens. Like I told you, if you want perfection, anywhere you go, you're going to ruin it. So don't worry about it. All right. So much fun, right? So much fun. We got lots of good stories. I love telling stories because, you know, usually they make me look bad, which is good because it keeps me humble. Okay. I am committed to shine. Now, let's go to Matthew 5:14-16. You are, what did Jesus say? You are shining my light? Is that what he said? I just read this entire article, this guy. You know, I read articles on the things I'm going to teach on. I know, it's amazing. I do study a little bit. But, you know, you are the light of the world. And this guy says, we are as the light. No, I go, no, it didn't say as. I read the Bible. It says you are the light. So that's speaking to everyone. Raise your hand. Everyone, raise your hand. Okay, now you got it right. Okay, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Next verse. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. You ever see undercover Christians? It's so hilarious to find undercover Christians. It's like you go in there and, like, you know, now I understand at work you have to be cool and stuff like that. If you're in a certain situation, there's certain limitations of what you can do. And, you know, I'm not here telling you to bunk that and get yourself fired or anything like that. But what I'm saying is there's some, you know, they say the only place that two Baptists ever recognize each other is in the liquor store. So, you know, I don't know if that's true or not, but, hey, you know, it's kind of funny. So, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. In the house? In the house. Got to be light in the house. Problem is, people are really good at being lights here, but when they walk out the door, they put their dimmers on. But the word that the Lord told me this year is we're going to turn the power up. We're going to be lights in this community. Now, we already do it by feeding the poor. God bless this couple. That's a lot of work, okay? And they show up there. Yeah, you go ahead and get, you know, would you pat her on the back? And then you pat him on the back. There you go. But they, and I want to tell you, you can be a part of that. But they feed the poor. We join other churches and help other churches fulfill their vision. That's part of our vision. Part of our vision is helping other churches fulfill their vision because we are one body. And you see, what the Lord told me when we first started this church, if we don't invest in their garden, they're not going to invest in our garden. So someone's got to be first, right? Someone has to sit there and go, gee, this isn't going to grow my church. Matter of fact, some of my people might like their church better than my church, and I might lose them. You got to go with it, you know? You got to put yourself out there. And you go there, and you just serve them and their vision. Like that whole thing about human trafficking, that's being done by Sullivan Neighborhood Church. They asked the group of pastors, we meet once a week, they said, do any of you want to join with this? You know, there was one church that said yes. This church. And we said, we'll join. We'll show up. Some of us will show up, and we'll support this, and we'll co-sponsor this, because human trafficking is a real issue, and it really needs to be dealt with. And this woman, Opa Singleton, is an expert in this area, and if you can make it there on 1 o'clock on the 24th, please be there. Ah, praise God. So good. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Now, did he say, let my light shine before others? I'm trying to understand this. Did he say, let my light shine, or did he say, let your light? Does that say you're up there? Are you sure? Okay, so that means we have light. That means we possess light that we can share with others. Which means that we already got it. Which means that we don't have to be holy or special in that moment. We can just be us, and we got that light. All right? Do you get me? Because if you're waiting for that perfect day when you're ready for ministry, it's already past you. All right? In the same way, let your light shine before us so that they may see your what? What is your light? Your good works. And give glory to your Father in heaven. When you do something right, woohoo, you get to give glory to the Father. If you do nothing your whole life, you give nothing to the Father. See what I'm saying? So you got to go do something. Well, what do I do? Go shopping. That's what I did. Look it. Live life. Live life and just be a light. And when you see someone in need, help them. Well, I don't know. How am I going to help them? I don't know. What do they need? Find a way to help those people. Because as soon as you put on that religious spirit and try to make them conform, you've lost it. You just help them where they're at. You see, everyone's in a different place on their journey with God. And if they're on step one of the yellow brick road to heaven, right? You can't expect them to act like they're on step 2054. You know what I'm saying? You got to deal with them where they're at. And you're not there to change them. You're not the power of change. You are the light that allows them to see the path that brings them to God. That's what the light's shining for. It's your good works. It's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. It's the goodness of God. And that's what I want to be. I want to be that goodness. I want people to meet me and go, ooh, David's good. But I'm joking a little bit, but you get what I'm saying, right? There's something about him. There's something in Mike's life that I'm attracted to. It's long hair, I think, but I'm not sure. But something in his life. Something in his life that I'm attracted to, and I want to know more about Mike. I want to know what makes him the way he is. That's the kind of life. I want people attracted to me so that I can share the goodness of God. And if I'm just sitting there, you're this, that. I don't even want to say anything because, you know, probably half the people here are guilty of whatever I say. So I don't want to say anything. But I do want to say that I want to be that light. I want to be that person that when you meet me, I'm not judgmental. I'm like, hey, it's all right. You're on journey. You know, it's okay where you're at. I'm not going to sit there and put my idea of what holiness looks like and impose it upon you. What I'm going to do is share the hope that I have in Christ. What I'm going to do is share the direction to go. And I'm going to trust the Word of God, and I'm going to trust Holy Spirit to do what he needs to do. And I'm going to realize that I'm only a part of that process, of that person's life. I'm only a blip. I'm only one step in their life. And there's 1,000 others before and after. And so you know who you are. And you know that you're not the answer to their issues, but you're merely a direction. You're merely a sign on the street going, goodness this way, badness that way, go this way. That's like your job, you know. You're just helping people. That whole word light, kind of cool. So phosi is a Greek word. It means this. It's so cool. It means to shine. It comes from the root of a word that means to shine or to make manifest. So when Jesus says your light, he's saying to make manifest that which is in you, to make manifest. How do you make manifest? You walk into someone and you start talking to them. You know what? You talk to almost anybody, in about 2 minutes, they're going to be problems, issues, all sorts of things. If you're just like, I don't want to talk to anyone, I'm so embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. You know, most of the people I met are better off than I am. That's a really good thing. You know, I can learn a lot from them. but I can share the hope that's within me. And that's what we got to do this week. This week was great. We didn't plan it. I wasn't there to do evangelism. I wasn't even trying. We weren't even in that mode. We were just who we were. And we led people to Jesus. I'm going to tell you about all sorts of stuff that just happened because we were there. And so that's what happens. And it says right here, not only that, but you know, it's translated by, it's also translated one time in the NASB as being firelight. Now, because we're firepoint, that's really important to me. Firelight. I like the idea that folks say can be firelight. Okay, that's excellent. All right. Good works say a lot more than words only. A lot of people got words, but when you do things, it changes the world. And Francis Assisi said this. Let's put that up, that first quote. Preach the gospel at all times and use words when necessary. You know what I'm saying? I got a lot of people that like to preach, but you don't got a lot of people that just let their light shine. You know what I mean? You know, if you got a neighbor that's sick, did you bring food over to him? I mean, did you go out and buy Campbell's, you know, noodle soup, warm it up, bring it over there and say, I made this for you? Because that's what I'd have to do. But okay, but you know, there's all sorts of opportunities to shine your light. And if you're committed to shine, God will give you the opportunity. If you're not committed to shine, why waste his time? Kind of rhyme. Yeah. Don't waste his time on the dime if you ain't committed to really shine, right? So you gotta shine. You should have been a rapper, bro. Really.
The pleasure is mine.
All right. Clever's funny, but okay. Are you willing to so one of the questions I have to ask you, are you willing to be thought of as a fool? Are you willing to put yourself out there? Are you willing to be embarrassed? Are you willing to really allow other people to see your faith? I love your glasses, bro. Your faith, and yeah, those are cool. They're orange. Get up and show them your glasses. Go on, show them. This is Shane. Shane, drummer. Yeah, those are cool glasses. Those are. Okay, I had to do that. That's one way to shine. Worship team was amazing today. Thank you so much, Frank. I want to tell you, man, worship was awesome. Thank you so much. Dave, whoever was up there, thank you so much. All you guys singers, and it was awesome, and the keys are awesome, and the fire in the middle is pretty awesome. Yeah, it's awesome. So are you willing to be made a fool? Because if you're not, you're not going to be very successful. You got to be transparent. You got to be out there when you're with these people, and they're going to see you. If you try to be some religious fraud with them, they're going to see right through you. I mean, the one thing that millennials cannot stand is fraud. They hate fraud. They hate when people try to act like something they're not. See, I help redefine what a pastor is every time I meet somebody. I like that. I'm redefining it. I do my Gregorian chant, walk around with my hands in my sleeves, you know. No, I redefine what a pastor is. Because a pastor is just somebody that's on journey like them, but a pastor is targeted to help them on their journey. That's all. Sometimes I'm help, sometimes I'm a hindrance. A guy that ran into me probably didn't think I helped him that day, but, you know, I did. Okay, Luke 9:26. It says, "For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words of him, will the Son be ashamed when he comes in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels?" Think about that, man. If we're ashamed of Jesus right now, if we're ashamed of his teachings, if we're ashamed of his life, he's going to be ashamed of us. I want to tell you something. I have been ashamed. There are times that I did not, Holy Spirit's like, do it. I'm like, no. And the Holy Spirit's like, do it. No. You know, I'm like fighting with Holy Spirit because I don't want to do it. You guys never experience anything like that, because as soon as Holy Spirit nudges you, you do it right away, don't you? Of course you do. Go ahead and tell yourself that. Go ahead. That's me. Yeah. So, you know, I've been ashamed, but I don't want to be. So I repent of that, and I'm bold as a lion now. You know, I love what the Bible says that Moses told Joshua. He said, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. God doesn't like cowards. He likes people who are strong and courageous. You got to be strong and courageous to share your faith. And so I received those two words since I just recently read them. It was funny. What show was I watching? Some show was talking about, I forget now. Anyway, some show was talking about Moses. they got like everything wrong. Just like I just read everything. I was like, no, that's not right. Oh, Raiders of Lost Ark, talking about the Ark. They got everything wrong. They just, those guys never read a Bible. All right. How to shine. How do we do it? In Philippians 2, 12 and 18, it says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The first thing about shining is to stay humble. Believe it or not, you're not in heaven yet. Stay humble. And walk. You're in the kingdom, praise God. But you haven't gotten there yet. So you really need to stay humble and work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean? That means, look it. Focus on yourself. Take the beam out of your eye before you go around trying to take out all the splinters in everyone else's. Try to work on yourself. When I meet somebody, I don't like, oh, I've overcome in that area. I'm like, God, yeah, I struggled in that area at one time. I know what you're going through. You see what I'm saying? Be real with them. And work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. For realize that what you're sharing isn't of you. The ability for you to minister to them is God working through you. Step two, God is working through you. Do all things without grumbling and disputing. Woo-hoo. Let's just pause. Do all things without grumbling and disputing. Pause for effect. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That you may be blameless and innocent. Okay. Well, there's a good reason, because you'll be blameless and innocent. Children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine, listen, as lights in the world, the title, okay, holding fast to the word of God so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or in labor in vain. Paul talking to those that he had brought up in the Lord. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. So he's like, if I'm being poured out, if I'm sacrificing my life for you, then you should rejoice with me because I get a reward. This is what I was meant to do. And you see, we don't like the word sacrifice, but love without sacrifice is unproven. People sit there and go, oh, I love everyone, but if you're not laying down your life for them, you don't really love them. You're just saying it because it makes you feel good. It's, you know, kind of virtuous to say things like that. Stay humble. It's God's work in us. And I love what James 1:16 through 17 says. Let's read that. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Who is he the Father of? So how many of you said, Abba, I belong to you? All right? If you are, then you're a light. Because he's the Father of lights, right? And every good gift comes from him. So if I had anything good to say to those people I just told you about, especially that guy who's going to punch me and I had to tell him I was a minister real quick, it came from God. That was God that gave me that strategy not to get beat up. I think so. Okay. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, whom there is no variance or shadow due to change. God never changes. He's always the same. We'll have to talk about the Old Testament. I'll tell you about that someday, but not right now. Hold fast to the word of life. That's what you got to do. You got to hold fast to what God has given you. In 1 Thessalonians 5:5-11, it says, you are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the light, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love. Put on that faith and that love and the helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage. I want you to read this part. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is so important. This is really important. He's not actually talking about drinking. although he's relating it to that, it's like a metaphor. What he's really talking about is stay focused on what's important in life. Stay focused on what's important in life. So, meaning keep hold of what is important. People get drunk to forget about their troubles. But Jesus wants us to stay focused on what's important, to stay focused on being committed to being lights in the world. That's what he's saying. To be committed to doing the works that God has called you to do. Encourage one another and build one another up. In other words, seek to help people where they are. Don't sit there and judge them, but seek to help them where they're at. You're just one part of their journey. Be the part that helps them get on the right track. Amen? Don't judge them, but love them. Build them up and encourage them in their journey. Help them to overcome the obstacles of their life. In this way, you will shine your light and glorify your Heavenly Father. If you want to glorify your Father, you have to help people overcome their obstacles, overcome the challenges to be able to be successful in life. And remember also this famous saying, no one cares what you think until they know that you care. It's just true. And I have one last, excuse me, one last quote. Excuse me. Start by doing what's necessary, then do what's possible, and suddenly you're doing the impossible. I love this quote. Get your phones out, take a picture. You know you're going to. But I'm telling you, Francis de Assisi had something. This is a really, really powerful saying. It's a lot deeper. I had to sit there and think about it, and I had to rethink about it. And, you know, you do what's necessary. You do what you have to. But then pretty soon you look around and you do what's possible. Oh, I can do this. I can help there. And then all of a sudden, you find out that you're doing the impossible because what God has called you to do progresses as you become committed to doing it. Does that make sense? And then when God sees the commitment, he honors it with his power. So let me give an example. Start by doing what's necessary. You know, necessary things are things you need to live, things people around you need to live. But then you start doing what's possible, right? You start, hey, wait, I can help someone else. I can do something over here. But then pretty soon you don't have the resource. You go, God, I don't have silver or gold, but what I have, I'll give them. And all of a sudden, God starts doing the impossible. The reason we don't see miracles, and that's why I'm emphasizing this. This really struck me hard when I was studying this. When we don't do the first two steps, we never experience the third step in our life. If you want to experience the impossible, you have to start doing the necessary impossible first. You have to do with whatever you have to do and with whatever gifts or whatever possessions you have. You got to help people with those. If you do that, you're going to get to the third part where you're doing the impossible. Amen? And God wants us to do what only he can do. Amen? That's what he wants. Now, I'm going to have Jeannie come up and share a story. And then we're going to, and a scripture. And that scripture is ready for you. It's on my paper, but because our printer broke, I couldn't, yeah, you know.
So, you know, there's different kinds of evangelism. And, you know, Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. And, you know, we always, you know, the hardcore evangelists, they're like, you need to seal the deal. Did they pray the sinner's prayer with you? Well, sometimes you just, like David was saying, you just live life and just spread the love, right? I'm a people person. I'm all up in everybody's business. Hi, how you doing, you know? So I'm out there shopping, right? For example... Yeah, I'm shopping. But, I was out there shopping. I also did some walking, so I wanted to share that first story. You know, there's something called prophetic evangelism. And for those of you that want to know more about that, come to the School of the Prophetic every Thursday night in February at the Hub. So prophetic evangelism. So I'm walking along the lake and this woman walks by me and we're passing each other and we're like, you know, hi, and she's hi, and I keep going. And as I walk by her, I hear in my spirit, tell her brother's going to be fine. That I'm going to touch her brother and he's going to be fine. So I just kept walking. Like, oh, Jesus, please forgive me. Maybe I missed it. Maybe I really didn't hear you. Maybe my, you know how you do. So I went to the end of where I was walking along the lake there, turned around, came back. Well, guess who was walking the other direction and passing me again? And so I gave her a little prophetic thing. She said hi again. I said hi. And I just told her, you know, 2019 is going to be a great year for you. And your brother's going to be fine. God's hand is on your brother, and he's going to be fine. And she just looked at me like, as I went by, you know, she didn't respond. That's okay. I just was planting a little seed there, and just a little bit of prophetic evangelism, planting seeds there, you know. And another time, David wanted me to share this one time we were in this one place, and so this one girl, she's like, yeah, you know, and I was just encouraging her just, you know, about just, I don't know, it was something upbeat about the time we're in. And she's like, yeah, you know, I really could use that blessing. You know, I just started school. And I said, oh, it's medical school. And she's like, yeah, yeah, yes, it's medical school. I'm like, yeah, God's really going to bless you in that and blah, 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 you know. So a little bit of prophetic evangelism, just enough to let them know that God knows where you're at and he loves you. And, you know, they're going to think about that for a long time, you know. And then, it wasn't sealing the deal. And, you know, are you ready to confess Jesus? You know, it's just like something God's gonna do it. Because, you know, 1 Corinthians 3, it says, so then neither he who plants is anything or he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Then it goes on and it talks about, which I love in verse 10 in 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God. So what grace do you have? So I'm in this one store yesterday and I'm shopping. On our way back down, we spent the night in Calistoga. And it was just so much fun. So I'm in there one last minute, run into one of the last stores, you know, just to look at everything. I didn't buy myself anything. It was just so much fun to see everything and touch it and, you know, whatever. So it's this one woman there, and it was amazing because I was just being friendly and she was friendly and we were both visiting with each other. And she, you know, within 3 seconds, you know, we've told each other basically everything about our lives, right? It was like genie meets genie, right? And so we're like, so she's born Jewish, but she became a Christian. And then you could tell by her vernacular that she was kind of, you know, kind of very, very kind of finding her way with everything as the years have gone by. And so we began to share our lives and share ideas about life. And then we came upon a topic that we didn't agree upon. I shared with her a little bit about, she shared with me something I didn't feel was God's, you know, what was biblical or sound doctrine. And I just very lovingly was like, well, and I gave her a little allegory of why I believe the way I believe. And she says, And she says, you know, I really am so grateful that you came in here today, because she said, you gave me a perspective that I'd been thinking about some things, and you brought a perspective that I really needed clarity on. And she said, number two, you brought light into this shop. That's exactly her quote. You brought light into this shop. And number three, she said, you gave me hope for the future. You gave me hope for the future. And so that was another story. And we have others, you know, we were able to give some prophetic words to some people, a couple in one shop. And I'll let David share a little bit about that Nathaniel and Alice.
Nathaniel and Alice. So we go to a shop. I go to a shop. Now, listen, I want to tell you something. I like closing deals. You know, I kind of like that. But I don't like doing it alone. I kind of like bring. I like.
So I prophesy.
I get her to come in and soften the ground, right? I get her to come in and do this, and then when they're all like crying, they're like, "Let's pray now."
Okay, let's pray. I'm like, you didn't tell them the plan of salvation, and I'm just like, okay, let's pray.
And you know what? And they just, yes, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and blah, blah, blah. And we're just standing in the middle of their shop, right? So, like, God sets things up. Like Jeannie comes in and everyone leaves. She did take a bath that day. I think it was fine. But Jeannie came in, everyone, and they were left just us and them. And they knew that I was a pastor, and so I was talking to them about Jesus. And the woman, she's an amazing woman. I've never seen anyone quite like her. She had these, like, crystal clear eyes, and she was Japanese and African American and a couple of other. She's just very unique, but her heart was so tender and kind and so good, and her boyfriend was kind of like, I don't know about this guy, you know, he's like aiming for the door, you know, and I said, well, my wife's coming, just hold on here for a minute. And so I started talking to him more, so I did kind of share the salvation plan with him, and then Jeannie walks in the door, you know, and then the prophetic lights off, and then pretty soon we're leading him to Jesus. Now, this happened not last night, night before. So these are all recent things. This all just happened on our vacation. Things happen, right? If you just shine your light. And that's what I wanted to tell you. So let's be thankful that God can use any one of us, right? He can use any of us. All we have to do is be willing and committed to being a light. When you go on vacation, when you walk in a store, be committed to who you are in Christ. Retain your identity. Does that make sense? Yeah. Don't go super sleuth on them, right? You know what I'm saying? Retain your identity. I don't think I said happy holidays to anyone the whole season long. It was Merry Christmas and have a blessed New Year. And don't go undercover on people. Be who you are. And just allow it. Now listen, there's work situations I've been there where I couldn't preach the gospel. They eventually fired me. But I had my little cup that had Matthew 5:16 on it, you know, so shine your light before men. And I had all my stuff. And so, I just had it on my desk. You know, I might have had a thing on my wall that said some scripture, and my daughter has some picture that has scripture. You know, you just shine your light to the amount that you're able to shine in the situation that you're in. Amen? Amen. And you don't hide it, and you don't make it a big religious activity, right? Like, Jesus loves you. Oh God, I said it. You know what I'm saying? Just live life and be normal, right? And just sit there and go, oh, I heard, can I pray with you? I almost never get rejected when I pray for people, even people that are obstinate. I've even had an atheist pray for me, and they don't even believe in praying. But when you offer to pray, it's like you're giving them a gift. And it's just amazing how people open up to that. And you can, once you got them with their head bowed and their eyes closed, you can go a lot of places. So, you know, it's like use wisdom. Be as harmless as a dove, but as wise as a serpent, but as harmless as a dove. Be ready to be a light wherever you go. Amen? Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now that you're challenging your people to be strong and courageous. Lord, you're challenging them to walk in your ways, to be a light in this world, not to cover themselves up, not to hide their identity from the world, but to reveal themselves to the world. All of creation is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. Father, let us not hide our stuff under a bushel. Let us not hide our light where no one can see it, but let's go out and be part of the world. Jesus went amongst publicans and sinners. He went among prostitutes. He went to the ones that the Pharisees would not even touch or look at. They would actually divert their eyes and look the other way when they walked to them, by them. But God, you've called us to engage these same people, to love them and show them a better way, to be a light in their life, to help illuminate the part of the journey that we get to participate in. Father, I thank you that you're stirring your people up today, that you're challenging them to be the lights of the world, that they understand that they have to be committed to the identity and who they are in you, that they cannot be ashamed of your life and your words. And Father, I thank you now that you'll touch them and strengthen them. And if there's any among them, Father, who have never heard or never made a commitment to Christ, and they too desire to be lights, they too desire to learn to love even as God loves us, if they want to be like Jesus, then you got to start the journey. You got to begin the journey. And the way you do that is by committing your life to Jesus. And in a moment, I'm going to say a prayer. If there's anyone in here that's never committed their life to Christ or have fallen away, I want you to say this prayer with all your heart. I want you to really, really mean it. Everyone, pray with me. Heavenly Father, pray with us. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for accepting me. And thank you for forgiving me. As I repent of all my sins, all my wrong thoughts, all my wrong actions, I ask for your forgiveness. And I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I will follow him all the days of my life. Thank you that you died for me, that you paid the price so that I can live with you forever. Amen. If you said that prayer with all eyes closed and head bowed, and you meant it with all your heart, and you made a first-time commitment, or you've recommitted to the Lord, and count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Be strong and courageous as an act of faith and raise your hand high. One, two, three. Go ahead and raise those hands up. If you've done it for the first time or made a recommitment, even halfway, I see those hands. I stand. Let's give the Lord a clap. Praise God. Glory to God. Stand up with me as I dismiss you and bless you. Heavenly Father, I declare and decree over this congregation that you will fill them with boldness as they walk out this door, Father, that they are the lights of the world, and they're committed to being those lights. Father, I ask that you bless them coming in and going out. Father, I ask that as they walk in your ways, Father, they will find success at being lights in the world. I thank you now, Father, that you are making them strong and courageous. They will not back down, but they will go do all that you lead them into. And I ask you now, Father, to bless them and keep them and allow your grace to shine down on them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and we'll see you next time. Prayer team up. If you need prayer, come along the wall. We'll pray in order. Thank you.